I think we're ready now.
Are we ready?
You turned off the light. That's the signal.
What was the signal?
Jim turned off the light. He went up the stairs. He came back down.
Okay,
so now we can start.
I'd like to claim the first piece, but it's a section of Bartok's piano sonata.
Among 20 snowy mountains, the only moving thing was the eye of the blackbird I was of 3 minds like a tree in which there are 3 blackbirds. The blackbird whirled in the autumn winds. It was a small part of the pantomime.
Thank you.
a man and a woman are one. A man and a woman and a blackbird are one. I do not know which to prefer, the beauty of inflections or the beauty of innuendos, the blackbird whistling or just after. Thank you. icicles filled the long window with barbaric glass, the shadow of the blackbird crossed it to and fro. The mood traced in the shadow an indecipherable cause oh, thin men of Haddam, why do you imagine golden birds? Do you not see how the blackbird walks around the feet of the women about you? Thank you. I know noble accents and lucid inescapable rhythms, but I know too that the blackbird is involved in what I know. When the blackbird flew out of sight, it marked the edge of one of many circles at the sight of blackbirds flying in a green light, even boards of euphony would cry out sharply. Thank you. He rode over Connecticut in a glass coach once a fear pierced him in that he mistook the shadow of his equipage for blackbirds. The river is moving. The blackbird must be flying.
Thank you.
It was evening all afternoon. It was snowing, and it was going to snow. The blackbird sat in the cedar limb.
It's running a little long, so I think I'll do a shortened version of my letter to Mandelbrot, if you'll let me. Nobody's yelling no, so. I'd like to talk about authenticity. It's a subject which comes up periodically, and I want to try to explain what sound is about, because it's something that a lot of people don't understand. I know I'm speaking to somebody who's very educated, but the obvious sometimes, forgive me if I'm being obvious, but the obvious sometimes it bears repeating. I know you probably all know this, but you know, there are different notes. There are 88 of them on the piano. And you know, there's a certain selection of pitches here. Everybody knows the octave, the, you know, that vibrates sympathetically. You have double the frequencies of the octave below. Well, there's a problem with tuning. The technicians, we have some wonderful technicians here, actually. I don't know if I should acknowledge them, but I see one who's hiding. The technical term for tuning is actually, it's a wonderful word, highly technical, obviously, but the word is cheating. We cheat, musicians cheat a great deal. And this is the problem with trying to represent fractals with sound, especially if you're using such magnificent instruments as a piano, because this doesn't represent Imagine if I could do circular breathing. So on. It's a phenomenon of sound when you have pitches close to each other to create something like a rhythm, a beat, which is a way to divide time. We have some wonderful examples here of rattles, for example, that, you know, why do shamans around the world use rattles? It's a worldwide phenomenon. This is animal, this is vegetable. Now we have different ways of dividing time. We have, you know, we can have a beat. If I were more coordinated, we can control almost together. Or we can let it go naturally. It's not a regular division into mathematical parts of 2, 4, 8. It goes into a sequence. And we have this phenomenon in the natural world of things which go according to a different principle than the Euclidean one of 2 and 4 and 8 and so on. We have a mathematician in the beginning of the 19th century, George Cantor, all of you of course know George Cantor, who he went crazy actually. He made this extraordinary discovery. He took a line and he removed the middle part of it. And then in his mathematics, he took each of those remaining lines and did the same thing, recursive function, just repeating ad infinitum, removing the middle third of each line. And he came up with the well, cantor set, but it's an extraordinary thing because what he couldn't reconcile with his religion was that he had just discovered something that was beyond infinity, or there were different degrees of infinity, because this was something that was completely outside of the box of the spiritual ideas of the people thinking up to that point. How can there be something beyond infinity? Well, we have the fractals that were instigated by Bernard Mandelbrot, who this is the reason for this lecture, who created the idea of self-symmetry, where you have something which in every dimension is identical to itself. How do you represent this in sound? You have in music a problem called the Pythagorean comma. You have, and this is the problem that I'm having explaining to Mandelbrot, what the Pythagorean comma is, so don't feel left out if you don't understand this, but if you have octaves doubling, and you then subdivide it into 12, you have a problem mathematically because the relationships don't work out. Because each of these notes in the middle do not compute doubling in the next octave or halving in the octave below. There's a slight mathematical difference, which is called the Pythagorean comma. And it's exactly this cheating which allows us to have this wonderful instrument to play in every possible key, the equal temperament. Yes, I know, you can probably explain this much better than I can. But the idea is, how do you represent a sound which can be self-symmetrical, can be recursive in the way that mathematics and fractals can be? And I think the only way that you can do that is by having a sound which is organically itself. The first time I heard a singing bowl, Tibetan singing bowl, there are different kinds of singing bowls, I was really struck by how irrational the sound was. It's a very beautiful sound, but I was struck by how I had taught myself not to listen to the tones which don't compute with the harmonic series that I'm used to considering in music. And I got fascinated with the idea of just letting it loose, letting it hang out. Why not have all of these natural sounds, like the sound of the wind, or the sound of the things growing? You have, this is the cheap version, I forgot to bring crystals. You have sound, pitch becoming rhythm. Sound familiar, huh? It's a susurration that you don't know exactly how to subdivide. It's the interface with the substance of the world around us that actually impedes the possibility of music representing fractals the way you can in a single dimension in graphics. Well, the fractals are really tantalizingly beautiful the way it can be used to reproduce natural organic forms, the way trees grow, the way
skin moves the way you have creases on your hand when you turn it. They're all fractal images because they're self-symmetrical. But we have become so inured to this basic principle in the world. I just wanted to finish this talk on authenticity. This is a short version. That with the story of a trip I made to an island that's in the far south of Japan. Actually, it's nominally Japan, but they don't speak Japanese there. It's so far in the south. It's actually south of the Okinawa Ryukyu Islands. It's part of the Yayama Islands, Taketomijima. It's this remarkable place. It's only 100 kilometers from Taiwan. And they have a music there that is very beautiful music. But what I was really astonished by was that in one generation, I was listening to recordings that this musicologist had made, and in one generation, the people of the island were singing something completely different, the same songs, but they were singing different notes. And I was just wondering how this happened. I happened to stay actually in the Minchuku, the bed and breakfast of the musicologist, just by accident. And he had died 2 years before, so they were having a big festival of remembrance, the 2 year anniversary of the death of somebody. They throw this big party and everybody gets drunk, and they were all singing songs and they're having a wonderful time. And I was, of course, there, so I was invited. And at one point, I was getting very, very smashed on shochu, this incredibly strong liquor they have there. And I noticed there was this a line of cassettes on the wall, and I just drunkenly pointed to that at one point, and all of a sudden the whole party stopped. I had done something terribly wrong. It was obviously the collection of the musicologist, and they were wanting to remain in the present moment and not remember the past. But I was an honored guest, so you know, one of these very formal things that one has in Asia where they have to honor the guests. So they pulled on the cassette of the song that they had just sung, and it was really violently different pitches than what they were singing. And I was just astonished. You know, this is an island in the middle of the Pacific. It's so beautifully quiet there. It's miles and miles away from anything else. There are coral reefs all around it, so you don't even hear the waves. The water just purls through onto the beach, and it's very quiet. I just wandered from the party, and I was totally drunk, and it was a full moon, and I just collapsed on the beach, and I was just wondering, you know, how this could happen. Obviously, in one generation, they had listened to radios and got the Western pitches that they were singing their traditional music with from the radio, from Yamaha disc claviers or electone organs or whatever it was. And then I was just looking up at the moon, and I began to hear the insects and the birds, the night birds, and the life on the island was performing that music for me. They had gotten their pitches not from, you know, an A440 tuning pitch, but they were just playing with the environment around them, which is how they had created their scale, their sense of pitches, just mimicking the world around them. And I think that's the best way to try to go towards representing fractals in music. And thank you. That's the short version.